playing it again. So off I ran, a young world crashing around me. No possibilities of getting what I need. He looked at me and smiled. He said, no, 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 child. See the dog and butterfly up in the air like to fly. The dog and butterfly. No, she had a time. She rode back down the walls of ground laughing. She don't know why. She don't know why. The dog and butterfly. On your face, wrestling.
time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Aloha, I'm Jay Fidel, CEO of ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on thinktechhawaii.com.
And aloha. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thanks for all of the glitches in life, and thanks to all the listeners in life. Beautiful day here. We got so we are live, I guess we are, and we're sitting here. My guest today again is Mr. Rod Tam, and as always, thank you, Rod, for joining me and hanging in here with me.
Well, thank you very much, Carol. It's a great pleasure being here. You know, when I look upon it, you and I have embraced in terms of being watchdog and consumer advocates in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, someone asked me the other day, Rod Tam mentioned something about his dealings or experience with the Senate, the Ethics Commission and what have you. And it got me to thinking, why is that a big problem when you take, for example, Nestor Garcia? You see, we hold people at different standards in this town, apparently, when it comes to, if we want to discuss ethics. Now, you come on the show, and you're very helpful with me and insightful in lending all of your experience and expertise as a senator, as a state representative, as a city council. But you don't shake my news. You don't tell me what to go on my show. You don't do any of that. You just contribute. But Nestor Garcia is working in the newsroom and people every afternoon, and he's the guy that went up for, what was it, failing to disclose substantial amounts of money obtained from another employer as he was working.
Right.
So it's like, let's hold this light, this 10 million watt light on you, and others can just behave as if it's not a problem. And then every afternoon you sit and watch your evening news, there is Nestor Garcia has his fingerprints on it, and yet the trust that the public had for him, and no one squabbling.
Well, I got to learn that basically you either with the group, the old boy, so to speak, mm-hmm. or you out. And I've taken a stand whereby I'm an advocate for the consumers and mm-hmm. the people of Hawaii. It's a dangerous stand to take, your position, to be honest with you, because you get challenged a lot of times, and you tell people what's happening in government, the politics in government. You know, those who control government, per se, and don't like that.
Yeah, and another thing brought to my mind. Now, we had the great pleasure, and in my lifetime, and I thought I would never see it, President Barack Obama.
Yes.
And these are just parallels, and people here in this town don't speak in these tones. They're always whispering among themselves that equality, and I notice our government representative, Hanabusa, Schatz, and Mazie, and Gabbard, they're all, have some comment about what's going on now and that people should own up to it, and if the whites on the liberal on the right wing side would just, and some of the liberals would just admit that there's racism. Well, here in this town, these are not a single one of them, those people that I've named, have mentioned that President Barack Obama, Hussein Barack Obama, should have a memorial or anything dedicated to him in this state. But we see on the tunnel Daniel K. Noy they debated that then at the international airport, and then there's a toothpaste factory probably coming, going to be named after Daniel Noy. So how is it that our legislators here, the national ones and all, can't bring themselves to speaking publicly and providing some kind of recognition to President Obama.
Well, you know, there's an old saying that you buy your way out. Mm-hmm. And you buy your name to be out there. And basically, I may say openly, historically, that's what Danny Noy did.
Mm-hmm.
He got money from Congress, but there's also a question in terms of how much he got on the side,
mm-hmm.
to put into his pocket. And I've got various sources of information telling me that, hey, nothing was free given from him.
And what was his stance with Barack Obama? And then look at some of the legislators now. You take, for example, when Rex Johnson had that vitriolic spew of emails and racist remarks about blacks and Jews and women and transgenders and LBQT. Hanabusa knew about it, and I approached her, and she had a letter that was written by the Ethics Commission or some entity that spoke to the horrendous comments. I approached her and asked her if she could provide that letter and share with us. She didn't. But now that Donald Trump is in the limelight, they're all jumping on his back. But their behavior here, I don't see the senators here, for example, and the national ones to include Schatz, Hanabusa, Gabbard. You don't see them extending or creating policies that would welcome or enhance the ability of blacks in the military or blacks migrating here to come and be part of the state workforce. There's many obstacles and impediments in place. They're not screaming about that. So there's this one-sided, you know, and if you look at the power structure here, many of them are endeared to Senator Daniel Inouye. And we're going to be talking about many of the things that derail. Kirk Caldwell owed his life and blood to Daniel Inouye when he worked for Daniel Inouye, I'm told. And I'm going to be reaching out and asking some questions and hopefully get the correct answer. These are not answers I'm providing now, but what we've been have shared with us is that one of the reasons that Kirk Caldwell returned from Washington was to see if he can get a shepherd in and make sure that we get this funding and layout for the underwater sea cable from the Big Island, the geothermal, which would fuel the train, the proposed train at that time. Hint, we are still talking about the undersea train, and we still have many unanswered questions as to how is this train going to be fueled? Well, it was something that was, I would say, not a brainchild of Senator Noy, but he supported it substantially. So there is, you know, when we're not throwing stones at anybody, but at sometimes we need to have straight talk. You know, right. if I wake up in the morning and I see my legislator going, well, you know, that Donald Trump, he's not my president and all. Well, gee, if we're going to keep talking, you're not my congressman and you're not my senator because you damn sure don't represent me. I don't see you advocating for all people. I see you advocating for some people and people that got a little money and what have you. And it's about time that we all call that. I mean, being that Donald Trump is drawing the fire, then we should put some more targets up there and say, hey, you know, look. Look at the firing range in life, so to speak. If he is that evil, and I'm not saying he is, I'll hold my own marks on tongue on that. But again, it is very comical in this town, in this soup, that what goes on, and they have a great ability to just become critical with no shame. And you know, most people go, well, gee, if I speak ill of Donald Trump on that subject. You know, tear down those Robert E. Lee statues. And I think that's what they should do. But here in Hawaii, we had an African-American man that became the president, something that neither one of them have ever had, and they had all kinds of workings and what have you. A son of these lands, right?
Right, right. You know what I'm going to say is, generally speaking, I found out through the course of my 31 years in office, Starting off at the age of, 26 years old, basically. I'm now 63. I'm going to be 64 years old.
Oh, God, man, you're old.
I'm old man already. In fact, I started so young that I didn't get married till I was old. I don't have any grandchildren yet. But anyway, I noticed that there's a, generally speaking, that trends are based on popularity.
Right.
And if something's popular, you don't speak against it. You just go along with the flow.
Right.
But I'm one who takes on challenges when things are wrong. I was just talking to a friend today over the phone. We had a mutual interest in terms of supporting acupuncture. I'm the one that legislated acupuncture back in 1987, where it became legal and licensed to protect the consumers of the state of Hawaii to make sure that acupuncture do it right. And I, in that talk, I talked about taking challenges, real challenges by the medical doctors because they didn't care for acupuncture. But when you talk about nerves and muscles, that's a different creature as compared to broken bones or whatever, or cut wounds, yeah? I took on a challenge from early on whereby when I was at University of Hawaii College of Business, my last senior year, I challenged a professor on a discrimination charge. And I hate to say it, but this, not trying to be racist, but this professor was from the mainland, Caucasian, and he didn't like Asians at all. Okay, and but he liked Asian girls. He would obviously in class try to talk story with the Asian girls who were in the back corner, and you know, they didn't like him at all. They told me on the side, but I challenged him for a grade on discrimination, and guess what? Two-thirds of the class supported me against him, and I won my case, but my name was bad out there in the College of Business. That ended my future in terms of going to law school, quite frankly, because I got tired of University of Hawaii.
Now, if I'm asking too much of the system, you having served in the Capitol building as a legislator, is it a grand effort to take, for example, President Obama and dedicate, have a picture or have some memorial or something come out of the House or the Senate? Is that difficult?
No, it's not.
And
it's
why
fairly easy. All you do is introduce a resolution to have some namesake after him, for example. And you even present a statue, right?
And so why is it that we see the, for example, the rush to name the Honolulu International Airport as a Daniel K. Inouye? I mean, we can't even find our way in the dark with this rail and money and the amount of money that it would cost to just do that. Why?
Well, get this. Sometimes it politically it's a cover-up. It's a cover-up in terms of a person who's done wrong. And to highlight the person by name recognition in a positive way.
So extract it and cleanse in a cleansing fashion.
Right. I've seen it many times happen, quite frankly. They said, oh, no, he was a good person, and he or she. But I want to honor him. And what they're trying to do is hide what they did before.
So the old saying, 1,000 attaboys could be wiped out with one O. So we'll just reverse it by giving a recognition, and that wipes out all the old boo-boo.
And the other way around, we basically you can do 1,000 good things, and you have one accident, basically, you know, or mishap, and then you get criticized for that.
Right, right. And you know, you turn on the TV and you look at the media here. You know, they're the media. Well, they talk about they deliver in our living rooms the term fake news. They even openly discuss it. And they talk about who. But you look at the makeup. I think I've seen one African American in the main in front of the camera in this town. Is that by accident, or we're just African-Americans just too dumb or can't find an airline ticket or can't fill out a job application? What is it?
We have history repeating itself, mm-hmm. Which caused prejudice.
I'm sorry.
And you know, I'm not kidding. Basically, when you look at, I'm a history buff. Okay. From the time I was in elementary school, going to Miami mm-hmm. School, and I learned a lot of history from Miami elementary school to Quantico Intermediate School to Roosevelt. And I looked in terms of discrimination, and not only Asians were discriminated in the past, but also too there was the black or anybody mm-hmm. who was non-white, basically. Mm-hmm. And they would beat them up and so forth, chastise them. And did you know, as an example, that I'm first-generation Chinese here in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And there are many Japanese who are first-generation, too, that our forefathers, basically, they didn't want their kids to speak their language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they didn't want them to be discriminated against them.
Right.
So, you know, people, even in the era of World War II, the parents did not allow their children to speak the native language.
Yeah. Right. And you know, we talk about racism here and there, and people, and I saw a gentleman the other day, he was of Chinese descent and origin, and he was defending the skinheads. Yeah. Brother, I almost pulled my ears off because it was like, wait, you obviously don't know the culture, the history, that the suffering that the Chinese, the American Chinese endured. It makes things pale in comparison to, or just small, compared to others. And suffrage is suffrage, but
right.
They got their lion's share of discrimination, and murder, and killings, and wrongful killings, and lynchings. But it seemed to just as if they're presented as if the Chinese people, the Asian, other Asian, that they just came here looking for something, hands out, or looking for free, but they contribute to building this country. And most people don't know that, don't bother to know that, haven't been taught the history, the San Francisco, the California, the how the railroad was finished going east and west to meet them up, and they, when they got there and connected those two lines and just left many of the Chinese there to fend for themselves to get back, they didn't even give them a ride back to their original.
Well, did you know that in our public school system, they don't teach American history anymore? It's shameful because, you know, when you think about, people say they have rights, but they don't understand what rights they have. And basically, I tell people, look, understand, read and understand the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Hawaii. Very mm-hmm. similar.
Yeah.
There's your rights right there.
And you know, I look at the Hawaii here. It is not, I mean, there's this, it's misinformation. It's just, initially, it was quite common, and no one had a problem with seeing a white male with an Asian woman in commercials. No, there was, you know, it was just the norm.
Right.
But you wouldn't see the reverse.
Yeah.
You see, and so, you know, so we decide it's more convenient and I guess less cumbersome to hop across the ocean and pick on Donald Trump, you know.
Well, you know, popularity again. Hey, let's pick on person. I want to be part of you. Let's go and pick on him.
You know.
It's a general rule of thumb. You know, you go along with the popularity rule,
yeah.
Right?
And the success to racism and hatred and wiping it out starts with us all. I mean, we might want to be dear to our ethnic group, but if we're going to have an interaction with others and live in the same community, we're going to have to reinvent ourselves and understand that your neighbor may look different from you, but that does not mean because he looked different from you, you treat him different.
I tell you why it's changing the history of repeating itself. It's because we are multicultural in Hawaii. In fact, mm-hmm. we're more multicultural than any other city in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and people say, what about New York? I said, no, no, we are the blend of the nation, basically. And what it is we're losing it. Why? Because we don't carry on our ethnic cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And the young ones are becoming too Americanized, whereby they don't understand in terms of traditions of Chinese or Japanese or Filipinos or whatever.
Right.
It's very, very sad. And along with that, they tend to discriminate. mm-hmm. right? And that's why history is repeating itself in discrimination. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's funny. I got to say, I'm not trying to be prejudiced, but the Caucasians come here, they love the Asian food, the Chinese, the Japanese, the mm-hmm. Filipino food.
Because it's Vietnamese. Good.
Yeah, it's good. It's much more tasty than eating potatoes, basically.
Yeah, you can put the potatoes aside and just eat the butter.
Right. That's what you eat. And then, you know, I've been to the continent of the United States. I've been to things like Texas, and this was back in the 1980s when I first got in as a legislator. In 1985, I went there, and I went to a Chinese restaurant, and I asked for fried rice. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe what fried rice was. Mm-hmm. They had frozen peas and carrots inside.
Yeah.
And pot pie.
That's called a pot pie.
Pot pie. And I thought, whoa, what terrible it was.
Man. Not pot pie.
Yeah. 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 But, you know, I guess the trend is to be Americanized. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in fact, Caucasians forget that they have ethnic backgrounds also, too.
Right.
And I asked, I've talked story with them on a friendly basis. And I said, you know, out of curiosity, what ethnicity are you? And I said, oh, Caucasian. I said, no, Caucasian is a general term.
Right.
Like being called an American or German or whatever.
Yeah, what type are you?
Yeah. You have a blend of ethnicities. And he said, I don't know. My birth certificate says Caucasian. I said, well, when you were younger as a boy, if I was talking to a girl, it would be a girl. I said, you remember what ethnic food you ate mostly? And maybe you ate a lot of spaghetti or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like when I was growing up, we ate a lot of Chinese food because
right.
that's my culture, right? And
mm-hmm.
So, and then my grandmother, my mother would cook like the Chinese with the wok and so
right.
on. But anyway, what happened, they said, oh, gee, I don't know. I said, can you recall any ceremonies or activities that culture are in? And you know what a lot of them said? Thanksgiving. They think Thanksgiving is culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even believe it. We here in Hawaii know better what Thanksgiving is all about. But, you know, it's surprising that a lot of them do not know what culture is.
Yeah. Yeah. And
except for food.
Now, we're jumping around and probably seems unrelated to what we're talking, but it's just something that's absent, that's missing in this culture. When I say this culture, I mean to include everyone of all backgrounds.
Right.
And calling it a culture or a way of life or whatever. We practically walk as if we have blinders on, and we learn to walk a certain pathway, take a certain route, and we don't want to look at the ills. But it's so funny when those ills present themselves on the mainland, and we see them, then we have an opinion. But here we're such a quagmire, we're in a bog of the same thing that goes on there, you know. You look at the incarceration. You look at the homeless issue. Look at the people out there that's homeless and whatever. And, you know, again, you take, for example, the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, mm-hmm. right? There's a we have their task with, by law, with preserving Hawaiian culture mm-hmm. in the sense that it's, sites and historical sites and the Iwi Kupuna and many other things.
Right.
That's why they have SHPD, state health, you know, protection and all. Now, let's go up to Nuuanu Pali.
Yes.
And I just did the thing where we went up and we were notified that it was brought to our attention that the buses, massive amounts of people travel up to Pali. Mm-hmm. And cars, tourists, and locals alike. And the state saw that as an opportunity for revenue. Now, this is Hawaii.
Right.
The Pali Lookout has a great role in the culture of Hawaiians, I mean, historically.
Right, right.
We should respect that, and some do. That's why they... But so they saw, well, look, all of these cars are coming. All these buses are coming. why don't we start us a business here by charging for parking? Now, what would be the reason for charging for parking? Just because there's people come there and make some money, and then what do you put the money back in? I know they're going to say, well, to polish the rails and to keep the signs on and sweep the sidewalk, you know, but that's in the budget anyway.
Right.
So you don't put a restroom, you don't put a face bowl, you don't put a porta potty, anything. So guess where the people are going to the bathroom? In the bushes.
The bushes.
In the bamboo that surrounds the area and the ironwood. So
which is also illegal.
Which is illegal, but it should be more illegal to be Suzanne Case in a position like that, to know that if you're that inept, either you're inept or you're just insensitive to a culture, that you're responsible for protecting and enhancing and preserving those sites and not desecrating them. So if you are the chairperson of the agency and the governor picked you, that's your responsibility. You don't invite, pay the way and clear the way so thousands and thousands, if not a million or more, to go there annually with not a place to relieve themselves. Human beings do generate waste.
Right.
So we found that in any path, any bush, there was somewhere that human beings have gone and routinely relieve themselves. And I stood there and watched some of the bus drivers relieve themselves. So why would the governor, David Ige, I mean, if, and I have to call it the way it is, if someone went down, the homeless went down right now to the Japanese Culture Center or the Okinawan Center out there in Waipio, mm-hmm. there'd be a hell to pay. They'd be arresting people and handcuffing them for urinating, the homeless coming around there urinating, or just laying on the ground.
Right.
But at the Poly Lookout, Suzanne Case has no porta potties. No, there's maybe a million or more people that come there annually. And they're going to the bushes. That's not sacrilegious. That's desecration.
I agree with you. And it really said it's not sanitary in terms of the whole environment. And for others around there, basically, there's a lot of bacterial diseases.
Yeah.
It's shameful that our government would not put a portable utilities there, or toilets, basically. You know, basically, when you also think about it, you have employees who work there, mm-hmm. who are in construction. Yet, when they have construction, they bring a portable there.
Mm-hmm.
But not otherwise.
Now, you know, I'm standing there and I'm looking at this and I think this once again. You know, I'm just not going to resist. I can't resist bringing up the issue of Donald Trump. And I, for me personally, I find Donald Trump to be one of the most obnoxious things that ever walked the earth, period. He's shown me that before president and after. But that's no reason to just blame him on everything and then look the other way when the people that's supposed to be of your ilk.
Right. And I agree with you. His character, his personality is very blunt.
Yeah.
And would be unacceptable here in Hawaii, basically.
Oh, no, he'd go well here in Hawaii. because you look at the... This is the democracy.
Right.
Now, let's be honest, you know, and I know that people say, well, you know, you don't like the Hanabusa. No, I'm an American citizen, mm-hmm. and I believe in an open and fair government and transparent and a democracy. Sorry, if you don't go that way and you present yourself as a fashion, for example, have you ever seen the likes of it anywhere, in any other place, where a person could be one day a union lawyer, the next day become a state representative or a state senator, then gets out of that and go and run for the House and become the U.S. congresswoman, then decide, step down or whatever, and then going to take another job to do this and do that, and then comes along and defend the city councilman against Ed Hart issues, those issues on the ethics issue, then go and work for the Hart. And then when I, nothing wrong with working for Hart, but when they got monies that they can't account for or won't account for or refuse to do an audit openly, why would she let Donald Trump pull something like that and see? That'd be every liberal on the planet using that as we see. Once again, he won't show his taxes and look what the hell they're raising. So how could our state legislators and congresswomen and congressmen and the senator Schatz and all not speak up and say, what the hell is this? We are a democracy. The people of a democracy deserve transparency. There should be an audit. And before the audit, we want to know what you've done with the money. Plain and simple.
Yeah, you're talking about the rail, basically.
Right.
Actually, yeah. And then I'm all for the audit. In fact, we had a pub under the association called the Financial Accountability for Rail Mass Transit Association, mm-hmm. which I'm a part of. We had a public hearing, a people's public hearing at Washington Middle School in the first Saturday of August.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned a lot, and people got to voice their opinion, and they want accountability of government. But Kirk Caldwell and Hart does not want accountability.
Yeah, but...
And that means he got something to hide.
Well, but as a congresswoman, and then you decide, okay, well, I'm going to advise Hart. And then you decide, well, hey, there's an opening. I'm going to run for that position again as congresswoman. Now, I know many are going to call and say that, well, she was voted in. Well, that's okay. I have no issue with that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying how dumb we are that we will stand and when Trump names his, and I'm sounding as if I'm defending Trump. I'm not. I want to be clear. I'm just drawing parallels. These things that are made, when Trump put his daughter in there, we get, oh, what?
Yeah.
Put his son on. He's getting what?
Yeah.
But then we can have a congresswoman just jump and then, oh, and then by the way now, I've done such a great job for you up there in Washington as congressman this time. I think I'll come back and become your governor. Really? You know, what kind of mindset do we have that we would tolerate such stuff? Because I think we're just not true to our own selves because we see the fault in Donald Trump. But we don't see the fault in our own selves.
Well, and, like I said earlier, if you want to be part of the establishment, you go along with the tide. And it's all part of it. And people sometimes think about themselves. But I live by the rules of the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of Hawaii. And that's why I get into trouble because I sing what is right.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you.
Yeah.
Right? But then other people say, well, I don't want to disturb things. I may get hurt or whatever.
Well, you are being hurt.
And then, you know, for me, I had two contracts for me, death contracts for me. One was 1982, and I was lucky to survive that. A friend of mine who was an ex-cop, he's no longer alive. And Tony Nohoi, he told me there was a contract for me, so he had to be my bodyguard 24 hours a day.
Wow.
And that was campaign. I never saw so many black Lincoln Continentals in the area at that time.
Well,
and then I was challenged by Judge Ariosa, the governor. I was challenged by Laramie Howe and so forth. The whole Democrat Party, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was a Democrat.
And then and the Democrats, they present themselves, and I'm not going to seize the opportunity to say and speak the truth in that we are in a situation where we're not too far from being dumb based on the tolerance that we have, what we tolerate. We tolerate hatred. We tolerate, if it's a Micronesian, we do things, well, I'm not going to pay, we're not going to pay for their medical. The federal government said that we shouldn't be paying, they would be paying us, and they're not, so we're not going to be paying. Well, no, stop for a minute. We're all wards of the federal government here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that you can get yours, but then you don't have a problem in erecting memorials to yourselves, but then other cultures don't get that access? You're not advocating for them, and it's disheartening to see, you know, okay, many things are out there. But I go back to the original statement that I was asking, a question that I was asking, and is that how is it something that could be celebrated, such as Barack Obama being the president, and I haven't heard one whisper out of that state senate or the state house. What is it? They all controlled by a certain individual or a certain culture that does not want to be inclusive, including other people? What is it?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, and I remember when they were looking at terms of presidential regime for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there was he was looking at Hawaii besides the other state, you know, the area of Chicago, mm-hmm. right, basically. But what happened is people were disappointed that he didn't choose. And then I thought about it in terms of why should he choose Hawaii? Because Hawaii is limited. You have the continent of the United States where he is actually ran as a U.S. senator, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's his home there, basically. You would have something at your home. Sure, he was raised over here.
Yeah.
But where would you get more money for a bank, basically, from donations to help build it, right?
Well, but also...
But Hawaii, I guess people here were saddened, so I guess that's part of the payment to him that, hey, you didn't pick us, basically, you know, so therefore we don't want to honor you.
Maybe that's it, and I'll add that I believe that it was just that they don't give a damn, don't want him, and don't want to acknowledge him. That's what I believe, because whether he wanted to or not, it's about you looking at your keiki or your children, and wherever there's a positive example, you should seize that opportunity to at least incorporate it in the in the daily images, in the mind, in the daily conversations of people that, look, a guy that who was raised by his grandparents in defiance of all the rules that, you know, you got to have a mother and a father and all of that, and he's a mixed race,
right,
and all of those things that most of the people here pride themselves. If they say they don't, they'll lie, because most of them, you ask someone what they are, they go, well, I'm 1/16th Indian and Cherokee and French and Irish and German, and, you know, and, oh, okay, well, what about those nice curls in the back of your neck there? You know, did you by chance go way of Africa at all? You know, we have an ability to speak about our racial background and our composition. So why wouldn't there... You don't have to put up a permanent or a primary facility here. But what's sickening is that the site that they did discuss placing it was Kaka'ako, a contaminated site.
Yeah.
A site that is brownfield, that has chemicals in the ground that
right.
it will rot your teeth out, you know. And, yeah, put it there. Put it at the Children's Exhibition Center there, which is an old incinerator for burning trash. That's where you would like to put a site for the president, the first African-American president, the first born Hawaiian-born person to become a president. That's where you want to put it. Put it in the cesspool. And by the way, in fact, if we can, we got some wastewater here. We can dump it and make a lake. And that's the absurdity. That's how vulgar they are when they fail to acknowledge this and make use of it as a tool of educating people and positive thinking and encouraging children.
Right, right.
That, you see, it's not about just Barack Obama. It's those positive things that come along with it.
In fact, I thought of a place that, as you were talking, the University of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Put a statue there in terms of recognizing him for civil rights and everything else.
Yeah.
Right. And it'd be perfect. University of Hawaii, Manoa. You know, what you have in terms of the study of civil rights and Americanism and so forth,
mm-hmm.
right? Be perfect, right? You highlight it in terms of what he stands for.
Yeah.
Right?
And which I believe we, in our hearts, we do, because that's the beauty of
I don't mean
of
in
Hawaii.
Terms of you have to have a building named after him. And let me say this, basically. I've seen it over the course of my life that people have named, or legislature, government has named buildings after various people. But it doesn't last long. Later on, when they get some donations from other person, they change the name. But a statue there stays forever.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about this rail and this underwater sea cable, 150 miles long, and the $26 million that have already been spent on it. But who was the head steersman in this process? Well, HECO had their hands in it. And many people don't know about that. And it wasn't just a coincidence that Senator Inouye would be on the Indian Affairs Committee. And then there was this discussion about becoming a Native American or be treated, have white. Was there an interest in putting gambling on Ko'olawe? Is that why they heard and cleaned a certain portion of it? Because of the monies? Because they were also going to run the cable through there, through Ko'olawe, and from Big Island down the chain, 150 miles of, and that is what I'm told, and I don't have the facts at hand, but this is the information that is that Kurt Caldwell was involved in the original effort to get that in place and get it approved.
Well, there's good things and bad things in terms of the former Congressman Danny Noy was associated with, and a lot of it had to do with money exchanges. Mm-hmm. Also too. They called him the Godfather. You know, basically, I've been told by very reliable people that Laramie Howe was not the Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. He was a businessman. And then he was associated with Danny Noy, yes. But the real Godfather, in a negative way, was Danny Noy.
Mm. Well, many people have said many of things, but what I can say is that I look, and when I interact with rarely that I bother to, but the people in politics, as you look at them, and they, most of them have some relationship with Danny Noy. They seem to have the power. They seem to have had the backing, even when he was alive. They seem to be able to strut their stuff, and people would be looking down at their feet and pawing at the sand when his minions, or whatever you want to call them, people that have spawned from his circle and under his watch. So,
you know, I can tell you this, that I've experienced whereby, unbeknownst to me, I stepped on his toes because I stopped some development and he was involved in the money dealings. And then the repercussions, I got contracts against me.
Yeah. We'll be back. This is a Carol Cox Show. My guest is Rod Tam, and we're just talking it up here. If you want to call in, 524-1080 is the number. We'll let you say your word, and maybe you have some different opinion, but please call up and share it, 524-1080. We'll be right back. Aloha.
I don't know why she left me.
with me in the studio, and we're just talking about many things, and social justice, injustice, and railing, and being derailed, and railroaded, and you name it, whatever. But 524-1080 is the number if you want to call, and remembering that you can catch me at thinktechhawaii.com on Tuesdays, every other Tuesday, at 12 o'clock live, thinktechhawaii.com. And I think we're going to be launching a talk and walk on the streets live this coming Tuesday, where I'll be, again, the show is Eyes on Hawaii, and we're going to be doing some talking, as well as you can catch me at carolcox.com on the internet, and or Olelo, Channel 54, on Sundays at 1 o'clock and Thursdays at 7 o'clock. So, Rod, thank you for joining me again. And we left off talking, and there was someone that had called in, but I don't know if they want to call back. You're more than welcome to call back and offer your thoughts or comments. But this rail, now, many of people are asking the big question. Where and how will they place a facility to fuel or run the rail? Electric. It's an electric rail, right?
Right, right. It's steel on steel, which is burned by electricity.
Right. So we're all curious about that. Where is it that we're going to get the energy? Is it going to be that the world's largest solar farm there in Miley or wherever, Waianae area, that they put up? Is it going to be a solar farm, additional solar farms that it, the Department of Hawaii and Homelands and Bobber's Point? Mm-hmm. Where, and then where is the money going to come from?
There are no plans right now, nothing visible in terms mm-hmm. of what the electricity plant is going to be, if there's going to be any. For 2 years, I had to take Valium. Oh, that stuff is bad, I tell you.
Yeah.
It affected my urine and everything, and my studies, and I was still going to college at the time. And I got cured by acupuncture. But, you know, whatever type of drugs is prescribed is dangerous.
I'm surprised, shocked, that they had cars when you were in college?
Oh, yes, yes. And those cars were much bigger and heavier.
Yeah.
Today, you end up dying
because of cars. And you probably didn't even have a seatbelt on.
Oh, I had a seatbelt on.
But yeah. You, back then, there was no really,
we got re-ended twice.
Bench seats? Bucket seat, bench seat.
Bucket, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, so that, we again, people don't think we're just mouthing off here. Real quick, caller, and I'm going to get to you in a second here. Project status, the Hawaii Geothermal Undersea Cable Project. This is a July 25th, 1989 document.
Right.
the following outline status report on their on the major issues issue areas involved in implementing the Hawaii Geothermal Undersea Cable Project is provided to update participants' knowledge, clarify understanding, discuss unresolved issues, and aid in strategy development. Hawaii Deep Water Cable Program, HECO, is already just got the head of the table. And then all congressional funding to complete the research is in place. See, the money's are talking about surcharges. These people charge just for being in their company, apparently. U.S. DOE and HECO have completed final contract negotiation. This is back in 1989. And some of the documents we found were geothermal program planning workshop in November 1990. But we'll take this caller and see what they want to add to it.
Sure.
Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, how you guys doing this morning?
Oh, great.
We're doing fine, man.
I was listening earlier, and I tried to call earlier, but I couldn't. So I tried to call, but I waited, and I couldn't wait. What I want to say is this. I'm going to discuss something that you were discussing earlier. It has to do with when you were talking about the Chinese helped build America and stuff like that. And the when the gentleman with you used the
Rod,
word
Rod Tam.
Black, right? Okay, 2 weeks ago, I had an epiphany about the word black, beyond, far beyond a color. And I don't want anyone ever to define me as a color when I live in the cosmos and I define myself according to the cosmos.
Well, thanks for coming back from the cosmos.
I want to, and, I want to listen off air, though. Thank you, Dr. Cox.
Thank you for coming back from the cosmos and joining in with us for a moment. But,
you're welcome. Let me listen off air, sir.
Okay. Let me suggest, first of all, many of people, African Americans, we've talked about this. We were once called Negroes, niggers, and colored, and black, and then we felt that we the identification, this isn't someone assigned us these names. It was a progressive a growth in our history. And so we then came along and said we're black, and then we're black American. Then everybody started to think, well, gee, when the Italians, the Jewish, the Chinese, so we added on African American, everybody Chinese American, Japanese American. So it's not someone looking at you and then demeaning you or reducing you to nothing, because you are what the common or the current type. Maybe next time when you turn on the radio and you hear Black Lives Matter, maybe we need to have a discussion with them too, because they're referring to themselves as black and others as black. So not, but also there's people called white. And I understand what I would love to see a world and live in a world where there is no reference to color.
Right.
And our ethnicity. I would love to live with that, but the reality is we're emerging out of the sewage of life, and historically we've had these moments of periods of hatred and dislike for one another and what have you. And we're growing, we're emerging out of it, we're crawling out of the cesspools of life, I guess, the old school, where, you know, so I don't think, you're welcome to call back, but I don't think, and I appreciate what you're saying, it would be nice to not refer to anybody as black, but I wouldn't lay the blame solely on the hurt that you feel on someone that don't even know you, just looking at you for the first time. And then I think some of the blame or some of the responsibility lie with those of African-American culture that refer to themselves, and like myself, as I refer to myself as black. So it's not an assault or an attack on you. It's just we're getting there.
Yeah,
it's going to take another 18 million years, but we're getting there.
I got to tell you a story, and basically I understand how he feels and how you identify a person, basically, you know. And I used to travel to Asia a lot. I was a liaison for interstate government mm-hmm. and also the city government to that in China and Taiwan and Japan and, mm-hmm. and Korea and also Vietnam. And I don't speak the languages fluently, but I got to know in terms of the culture so that they accepted me because I didn't discriminate against them, basically. But, you know, on my way back here, I will stay about a week, you know, doing diplomatic relationships and with government and also with businesses, yeah, to have a closer relationship with Hawaii and the Asian countries. But when I came back, on my way back here on the flight, you had to fill out this immigration form.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to ask in terms on the form, what nationality? I said, what nationality? Nationality means, okay, I'm Chinese, I'll put on Chinese. But if I put on Chinese, they think I'm a foreigner.
Foreigner.
and that form came from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it probably came from some attorney, basically. Because mm-hmm. attorneys develop those forms. And so sometimes attorneys can be very ignorant.
Yeah.
But then, so what happened, now they changed it to what citizenship you are, mm-hmm. which is a proper terminology.
Yeah. Yeah.
So terminology's changed.
And description turned. But, right. you know, I understand fully what he's saying, the caller. And I swear I would love to wake up one morning where there's no reference to race, creed, or color.
Yeah.
Just, I would love that.
They used to call it a Chinese yellow.
and the red man, or the Indian.
Which is wrong.
Well, but again, you know, that's an illness that was projected on many of people by other people, and we're getting there. Yeah. It's re-education of humans.
Yeah.
But one of the things is that I'm always reluctant to say, you know, what they've done, what the Chinese or the blacks have done for America. It's what we've done for the world, for humanity, not boundaries.
Right.
You know, blacks have made great contributions universally, you know, and Chinese have universally the medicines and the treatment. So it's our small minds. It's what we've been confined to as we're growing and emerging and realizing we're standing in a swamp. And, you know, we're going to crawl out of it one day. Yeah. But hold on. There's a caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Aloha.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
You know, your reference, you're talking about the creation of America and who contributed and everything. You know, I've seen pictures of the laying of the cornerstone of the Capitol and building of the Capitol. And you know what I noticed? Oh, it's all white people over there.
Okay.
Who built it?
Well,
then the black people build. Then the African Americans build those buildings.
Well,
they're not represented in those paintings.
Well, but then again, that triggers the other discussion, the deeper discussion, you know, the statues and all of that. And so, but I think if we remind ourselves now and ask, and not be shameful of asking the questions today, maybe we can fix. It's already broken in the past. Maybe
right.
we can fix it. And
but
so,
also, like, you know, when the railroads were connected in Promontory Point, and they
right.
Had that laying pounding of the golden spike or whatever that was.
Right.
And they showed these people all surrounding these guys pounding the stake. No Chinese around.
No, and that's, you know, that's how you're able to call yourself the world's champion. You know,
you know. I've seen the movie about World War II. We broke the intelligence, the Japanese intelligence broke the code.
Yeah.
And they showed this, what do you call it, intelligence, what do you call those rooms? War rooms or something,
right.
or whatever. And all Holly's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but who broke the intelligence was the Nisei.
But understanding
the Japanese Americans.
That's the ugly side of racism, prejudices, and hatred.
Yeah, it's all based on a white standard.
Right, you build yourself up at the expense of others, and so I think the crime committed today is that the unwillingness to talk about it and being open about it and look for resolution, you know, not to just talk about it, but to accept the fact that, yes, white people do discriminate, have discriminated, but that's not all white people. And so those that are now show up, I give you an example. It's already defined in my mind, and it's clear. So I wake up this morning, and I look at my Facebook, and and I posted about Polly Lookout, and somebody sent an email about abortions and how they're killing the black people, and it went something to the effect that, well, gee, I'm surprised you guys are talking about, there's all this talk about white people hating you and killing you and the skinheads and the Nazis, but I don't hear anything about the abortions that are against black people. And it's like, so wait now. The guy that's warning me about this is clearly and openly stated he wants me out of here. He wants to annihilate me. He's already demonstrated that he supports a practice that killed some 6 million people, gassed them in chambers. And he wants me to gravitate to his side of the line so that I can embrace him because he's out worried about babies being killed in the abortion room when, in fact, what does he want to do? Keep them
black babies?
Yeah, what do you want to do? Keep them alive so he can have something to beat and burn and hang and lynch? you understand? What it's, so we have to attack it head on. Too much of mumbling and, you know, whispering now. It's
something positive like naming something after Obama.
Or something.
Getting schools or... Is that any suggestions?
Well, oh, I got
roads, I don't know, buildings or whatever. Do you have any suggestions about what?
Yeah, I have lots of suggestions, but, you know,
it's so derogatory and so inhumane. Is that if I look inside my body, I don't even have black blood. I mean, when someone to, quote unquote, we use the word black so much we think it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
When a person like me, I'm using that in the place of the word, the B word. A human being like me talking to you, a human being like you, you may be of the same hue or close to it. Racism is a political power. It is not just I'm calling you a name.
It's people a privilege who have given been to one group over another.
Descendants of slaves in America cannot be racist. Because in order to be racist, you have to have power. Who has all the power over everything? It is not the slave. So, as the evolution of the word describing the slave progressed to present day,
well, let me
black,
hold on, and I think I want you to understand. I appreciate what you're saying, and won't take issue with none of it. I think I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I must tell you, we get ourselves sometimes in these sticky situations because we are in our struggle to identify a positive identification for ourselves. Hold on, and so
you can't understand racism outside of power.
No. You're running way down the field, and you're saying we should have scored. No, I'm staying right here for right now, and say you got to own up to you, looking at the world and say I want it to be better, and then say, well, it's them who's doing all this to us, and it had its birthplace in them. But we, as a result, we try to identify ourselves in a positive fashion. We assign these names. I recall if you call a person black, if you refer to anybody that was African American descent and said they were black, you get your ass kicked.
Exactly.
By the black person, not by the white person.
Because the word itself had a phonetic meaning.
I understand, but we're making full circle, and now we were able to call ourselves black. So I wouldn't burden society wholly for these.
No, Mr. Cox, no. I don't believe that. A child will mimic its parent.
Well, that's...
We are mimicking our master.
But we also, once we grow up and say, what the heck was I doing that for?
We never grew up, Mr.
Okay.
Cox. We have never grew up.
Okay.
We are not
Godfrey when still sucking on his tit. We are free. We have the power to proclaim our own identity.
Yeah.
Listen off the air.
Okay, thank you. But we do agree with you in part. Go ahead, call it the other. You got comment?
Yeah. Well, yeah, black doesn't have a bad connotation. Not a bad, but a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about a lot of connotation with black, it's all, a lot of it is negative.
Yeah, well, you know, if you come from a culture where I come from, where you were, your aunts and uncles were referred to as auntie,
right,
by or boy,
right,
or Tom. See, right, unless you grew up in that, you wouldn't understand. It would be me like talking to you and trying to explain, and we would never make connection to fully understand.
Right.
We're evolving. These names that we call one another or that we refer, if you look back, and it was just an evolution of names connected to the growth of a people, trying to emerge out of a racist period of life, the Jim Crow and the slavery.
The society was getting better.
Right, and that's the joy, you know, and when the people that fear for this is get out there and write stories like America is becoming more brown and more yellow.
Is this that bad?
Yeah, well, you see, in that connotation, they're doing it for a purpose. That's a skinhead, Nazi, hated, human hater.
Right.
Right? And
so
we got to...
What do you think about the Lakana demonstrations against these skinheads?
Yeah. The who?
The you know, in Carolina?
Right.
They have all these counter demonstrations. Is that a good thing?
Is it a counter demonstration? Well,
they're protesting the skinheads.
Well, first of all, you know, I think we're trapped in our own laws and all, where we say freedom of speech.
Right. Yeah.
But the quote skinheads, that in a broader sense, what's their message?
White power.
White power, and they hate anything that's not white, and they're going to beat it back into evolutionary, where we were crawling out of the rivers or whatever. They want nothing to do with us. How is it that man can justify, is that free speech, and if it is, what the hell are we asking about counter protest, when in fact these things are saying we want to annihilate you? And we should be. There should not be a hesitation to respond by simply, we'll drown it out. Because if it was to say, let's enhance the human race, make things better. So that's where I come from. And I don't have all the answers. But I would say that I don't see any confusion. And there's no debate. It's like if you show up at a park in a crowd with your faces covered in guns and sticks, and your whole message is, we're going to do you in.
Yeah, well, both sides are equally guilty, you know.
Well, yeah, but you'd have to go to the Trump school of thought. For, you know, and get an A in that class, because that's so un-American, you know, that not to be able to discern freedom of speech between a threat, an overt threat. So when someone's sitting there saying, me and my boy is going to burn you out tonight.
Right.
We're going to send you back to Africa. You don't belong here. We're going to take our country back. And then we get some clown that says, well, they have a right to speak. Really? Yeah, they do. Then I have a right to say you're not going to do
that. The legal definition of doing something like that is called threatening.
Yeah, threatening.
So that's not freedom of speech.
Right, but again, we get trapped in this. Let's be nice to the evil. You know, let me check this other call. And thank you, caller.
Okay, aloha.
All right, aloha. Thank you. Caller, thank you. Call again. Go ahead, your comments. Hello. Go ahead, Rod.
You know, it's interesting that we talk, listen to these callers and talking about discrimination and prejudice, yeah. I got to admit that in the United States, we have that a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and we think we're the supreme power of the world, basically, which we're not. In fact, because I've been a liaison from Hawaii to that of the Asian countries. Did you know basically that the Chinese and or the Japanese do not like Americans who are Caucasians at all?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. And because they discriminate against the Asians.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're not the greatest power. In fact, we fight among each other too much.
Wow. Yeah, can you imagine what the world is saying now? Look at that. They were the leaders of the nation, of the world, most powerful nation in the world and in history. And then we're over here eating at one another's throats because, not because one stole all the secrets to the longevity in life and live forever and bringing peace and love to the heaven. We're fighting because this one side says, I'm going to wipe you out. You don't belong here.
Right.
And then,
you know, funny, out of that, I created my business, quite frankly, Network Consultants Agency,
yeah.
Whereby Americans, and I made named the whites, yeah, basically, who are non-culture oriented, really, when you think about it, do not know how to do relationships in Asia or business relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they offend a lot of the Asians. And they may think that, oh, wow, the Chinese or the Japanese or Filipinos take him out for meals, and I got him in upon my hands. I said, no, you're wrong. They're watching your character of who you are.
Yeah.
And if they don't like your character, they're not going to give you the business, or maybe even if they sign a contract with you, it's not going to be the best contract because you have no relationship.
Yeah.
So in the Asian country, they look down upon the white supremacists, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
And
unfortunately, others like you and I, we're Americans. We get branded because of them.
Well, yeah,
because
class,
they're not culture oriented.
Yeah, class and all of that. But caller, thank you. Go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, did I get through earlier? I seem to have gotten cut off or something.
Are you on now?
Okay.
You better run with it, man.
Okay.
Hello, Dennis. How
anyway,
are you doing?
What I was saying before is we have a multi-billion-dollar train coming at our pocketbooks in about a week or so. And I think this is extremely important to talk about it. Rick Blangiotti, Channel 9 News, seems to be very one-sided in his talks about the rail. And this last week, he's talking about the rail. A month ago, it was a $2 billion they needed. And now, all of a sudden, he's talking about $3 billion. I don't know what's going on there, but it just casually add a billion here and there is just amazing, you know.
Right.
And I'd like to ask, I don't know if Rod has seen the ads that they're putting on, that 70% of the people want the rail finished to Ala Moana. I think it's just a bunch of crap, you know. The last survey that I heard about, most people were against the rail. So it looks like it's just more lies and more shibai that's being put out by the rail people to con us. Anyway, the last thing maybe Rod could comment on what kind of tricks the legislator might be having come at us for the special legislative session.
Well, first of all, in terms of surveys are worded in such a way where they get their answers on how they want to be concluded, basically. And so, you know, you have to take a survey as a big question whether it's done sincerely or not. Okay? It's how you word it. You know, the worst language in the world for interpretation is the English language, basically. And you can write something in English, and you can phrase it in such a way where you want a certain outcome, interpretation.
Right, but what do you do about all the lies they're putting out in the meantime just before this legislation?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion out there, and nobody really knows what they want, quite frankly. They know that there's a high price and it's questionable. They want financial accountability. And by the way, I'm the one that created in terms of the focus on financial accountability, because everybody was talking about costs. They said, you know, what you really want to do is key on in terms of the terminology. It's called financial accountability. And we shouldn't have any extension of the excise tax. another 10 years beyond that of the current one, which ends in 2027, you don't need to do it now. You can do it later if needed to. And then the other issue is in terms of whether we should increase the hotel room tax, the transit tax. Well, the hotels don't want it and so forth because, you know, granted, they don't want to pay, and they're afraid that their prices are too high. It's going to discourage visitors. And hotels are making big, big profits. You know, if they want to have more people come, they will lower their costs of the rates of the hotel. What we should have, Jackie, because of this confusion, is to have an audit, a comprehensive audit. Okay? So the legislature is going to session on the 28th of this month in August and adopt a resolution for a financial audit and not act on any type of increases in taxes at all at this time
so
without being accountable, because they themselves haven't gotten the answers to financial accountability from the mayor or Hart at all.
So here's my recommendation, yeah. Dennis, and thanks for calling. Is one, don't vote for Hanabusa. Two, vote David Ige out, not because Hanabusa is going to run, but we should not be at this point in this time in the game where we're talking about more money and they want to be our leaders. They've shown they can't lead. They've shown that they're going to rip us off. They expose us to a cost that is just Caldwell dance in, and he comes in with a certain price, and they originally start off with Mufi's price, and then now it's up and over that amount and more, and then still there's uncertainty about what it's really going to cost, right? So it's about voting. Ron, what's his name, Suki, Ron from Kauai, the Senate President?
Oh, yeah.
Kochi,
yeah.
Vote him out. I mean, it's like we're stuck on stupid here. We still own the government, and we own the votes. And the 26th might be a day, but let him know that if you do, write them all in your prospective representative and senator, and tell them, do not move on this. Do not vote, or I will be voting you out.
Right.
Well,
that's simple.
That's what everybody talks about, but they just ignore that.
Well, I mean, to hell with it. Let them have a train that runs them over. I mean, at some point, you can't spend your life trying to defend people that's going to run out there and lay down in the train and say, here's my wallet. You know, at some point.
Well, that's what's happening, and they don't listen to us.
Well, people complain, but what they should do is take action by calling the legislators and tell them they basically that have a financial audit instead of moving for any increases in taxes at this time. We want true financial accountability of taxpayers' money.
Here's what I suggest you do. Go to Hawaii.gov, look on the legislators, and then find your legislator and write them a letter and let them know individually that they may be running with the pack, but you're going to watch them as an individual representative and you'll vote their asses out.
Here's what I suggest. Stop the rail, get rid of the rail, and go to a complete BRT, which will be a much better transportation system for Oahu. Rail is going to screw up our transportation system badly. It's going to screw up our bus system badly. Stop the rail. Stop the taxes.
Yeah, well, everybody got theories, but no, I don't hear anybody saying just go straight at them and tell them. You work
well,
for us.
I think that's what it needs. They're not listening to anybody.
John,
anyway.
What I say this is that the legislature is going to be looking at in terms of financial accountability, whether to increase the taxes on the continuation for the excise tax, half percent, or the transit tax increase. So basically, the bottom line is to have financial accountability. And if you want to stop it, that's the only basis that you're going to find that how to do it.
But is this not a city project?
Yes, and
so why in
question why the state should get involved.
So that's my point. I hear all the theories and all the solutions, and let's make it this and that. Why don't we just keep it simple? This is not a state problem. You went shopping city. You engaged in it. You committed to it. You live with it. Period. That's a solution.
Exactly. We can't afford it, so stop it.
You know what happened? this mayor is really smart, and he's playing a political game. And he's telling the legislators what they're falling for. He said, if you don't increase the taxes, which is real questionable in terms of the future need, then I'm going to increase property taxes. So they got them up against the wall, scared. But I say to the legislators, stand up to him and say, we want a true financial economy by having an audit. And let the people know in terms of what you're doing.
Yeah, I think what I've observed in this train debate, everybody tell you how bad it is, and nobody's willing to put the name of Colleen Hanabusa, assign it right there as being one of the most wasteful practices there is. And she's been supporting it. She gravitated too hard. And now she's your congressperson, and she's going to go up there and cover and control and steer monies all that she can, whispering in the ear of Transportation Secretary. And then she wants to become your governor. So then, guess what? She becomes governor. You surely got yourself a rail and an underground, underwater sea electric cable that's going to fuel the rail. And who's going to make the profit? Private businesses, who's pushing it. That's what this is about, at our expense.
John, you asked me a question in terms of what the legislature, what I think of the legislature. Well, basically, they had a public hearing this past Monday. And then, basically, it was not really an open public hearing. They had special interest groups testify. It was unlimited. Then, all of a sudden, when the public came to view, to speak up, they gave them 2 minutes limitation. And if you ended your 2 minutes, they stop you right there. You can't even give a summary. What kind of public hearing is that?
It only takes you 25 seconds to vote them, though.
Yeah, right. So basically, they're basically going through the motion, if I may.
Yeah, because
the only way to get your voice in is to call your legislators personally, like Carol Cox is saying, and tell them.
Individually.
Yeah.
Don't call the whole army of them, and you can if you want to, but make sure you call your own assigned legislator and let him know that when it comes to elections, you may get over on us this time, but this will be your last time being called city councilman or state representative or state senator by us. I can tell you that because we'll vote you out.
Anyway, I'll hang up here, but I just wanted to leave a simple thought with people. This is the worst project in the history of Hawaii. Stop it. Get rid of it. Get rid of the tax. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And you're right. It's going to bankrupt the city.
Yeah.
We already are technically bankrupt.
Yeah, I think we are. We are up to our neck and debt and everything else and overspend defaults and change orders and all of that. But I'm just completely dumbfounded looking at this. You know, I think about the city council people that were represented by Colleen Hanabusa.
Mm-hmm.
I question their integrity because they're part of the game. Here they are supposed to be a separate entity of the government, and she comes in and then goes in and rescues them, right? Maybe they couldn't afford a lawyer or go on public defender or something. But they bought into it, and she walks them in and goes behind closed doors and resolve that, just washes it away, the conflict issues, right?
Yeah.
And then she then gets on heart board. And then we're running around having all these fancy meetings about this and what style of train should be replacing it. But nobody wants to speak to the solution. The solution is get them out.
Yeah.
When the gentleman that was Robbins, is it? He the new guy that's heading on. He was with Bombardier.
Right, right.
So I don't know if you recall that I uncovered that Mufi Hanneman had set up a trip that he was, quote, going to visit Washington to visit Daniel Inouye and Colleen and those, and Maisie Hirano there. But in fact, he was taking a side jaunt to a fundraiser in Philadelphia with Bombardier and all. And he was caught, and we exposed him. He ended up paying $300 fine. But isn't it funny? All those things that I show them and reveal. Who's now running the shop? Bombardier employee farmer?
Right, right.
So it's enough to make you sick and queasy, but I don't know if the people really want to stop the rail. I don't believe that the people really want to save their monies. I believe they're just so inebriated or drunken now from the punches, the lies and the misinformation, that they don't care.
You and I provide the information, the insight, but unfortunately people don't move ahead and take their rights in terms of how they want government to be run and how they want the money to be spent. We can't do anything for them because they're essentially playing dead, unfortunately. And, you know, they can't blame anybody but themselves, to be honest with you.
Caller, thank you. Go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, in regards to the rail, and that last caller wants to stop the rail and stop with it. I'm for the rail 100%. I think the rail is just another addition to solving the transportation. It's another means of transportation. As far as the cost and how to pay for it, I'm for increasing the general excise tax, which takes money from everybody who spends money. Now, if they raise the general excise tax another 1% to pay it for, or 2%, it doesn't bother me at all, because instead of buying Chivas Regal or Jack Daniel whiskey, I buy Jim Beam. So my monthly expenses will remain the same, because I'm not going to I'll keep track of my spending so that I won't go over. Now, I do not want them to take the money from the real estate taxes, because
you own real estate and you don't want to get whacked.
No.
That's
no,
what it is.
I want to take it out of the general
package. No, but I don't care where you want to take it from. You don't want them to whack you.
Yeah, you also spend your money on liquor, which is fine, but hey, most people don't come in for day-to-day food.
What was the name of those liquors? They sound pretty good. What was the name of Jack B?
They're expensive liquors.
Jim Beam and Chevy's and what else? But no, I mean, let's be real. If you don't want them to take property taxes, you've informed us you own lots of property. So I think that's where they should, in fact, if they are going to take any money, take it from guys like you and me who got property. Now, if you want something, put your money where your mouth is.
I disagree. Because
put your money where your mouth is, my friend. I'm just saying, if you
investors and I provide housing for people by owning
property. You're saying you support this project and you think it's better than sliced bread, then I think you and I should put our money up and support it. Why be coward about it?
It's just another means to add.
You want somebody else to pay for it?
We're thinking, Carly. Carol Cox and I are thinking about the people who are low income and middle income, and they're having a tough time now.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are the consumers that are really buying the basics like food and clothing that's needed. They're not going to some fancy store to buy an expensive shirt, basically.
Yeah.
They're going to places like Kmart or Sears and things like that.
Well, you know, we're just joshing with you. So yeah. Go ahead, finish your comment, and there's another caller here. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, Ed.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. It's just like H3. Everybody was against H3. It costs so much. H3 is rarely used from after 9 o'clock. I count 5 cars using H3 going to Kaneohe. But it's just another form of aiding in the transportation. It does not solve the transportation problem. And the rail will not solve the transportation, but it will help the transportation.
Well, a side benefit to the H3 was, so that we don't mislead people, was that traffic was secondary. The primary reason for and justification in getting the federal monies so loose, so easily, was that Kaneohe Marine Base, in case we had to respond to a war or a conflict, we could just drive all that equipment back over to Pearl Harbor, put it on the ship or down at the harbor and have access. That's the real reason, and the traffic was just a secondary benefit. So let me get this other caller, all right?
We should build bomb shelters for everybody, so just in case.
And give us some Chevys and some Jack Daniel.
We'll spend billions preparing bomb shelters just in case Chicken Little say the sky was falling.
Well, so Chicken Little was on TV the other day.
We treat, they were going to close Kaneohe Marine Corps base anyway. They may eventually close
it. Yeah, but they got the money based on getting that the equipment down to the harbors and all so they can get out there and fight the war. Okay, let me get this caller right quick, and thank you for calling in.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks so much. Caller, go ahead. Caller, you there? Anyway, Rod, yeah. If he calls back, we'll give him
sure.
Somehow they.
You know, the question here about the rail is really what everybody has in mind is the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And to really bring it out on the table, you have to have a financial audit, a comprehensive financial audit. Then you can decide whether to complete it or add more money in it or to stop.
Yeah. Caller, go ahead real quick.
Yeah, Rod, thanks for taking the time to say that. You know, I'm on fixed income. I'm disabled. Mm-hmm. I can't afford this tax. Mm-hmm. The other gentleman was wrong. You know, he can afford it, but many of us who are fixed income are hard. And three words that I would say in this situation, Ie Wakare Masen, don't understand what's going on, mm-hmm. and Bakatari, it's a stupid project.
Actually, like I said, you know, when you think about it, seriously, you have the 0.5% excise tax right now, and it ends in the year 2027. Then why do you need to extend it another 10 years beyond that right now? I was a legislator. You can wait until the year 2026 to look at extending it. So why now? It doesn't make sense.
The knife is sharp now. They can cut the bottom out of your pocket to get the money.
Yeah.
See,
right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hey, guys, thank you for joining me. This is the Carol Cox Show. Rod, thank you for joining
me.
And I know we were scattergory today, but I enjoyed it. And I thank all my listeners and all of you out there, folks, and let's just hope and pray that things get a lot better, and if we don't and flesh them out, then we'll never know that they're there. We might think that they're there, but when they present themselves in the open, we have a better vision, and then we can fix it. and you know, a skinhead telling you that he hates you and want to annihilate you and kill you and wipe you off the planet Earth, that's not freedom of speech. That's freedom to kill, it sounds like.
Yeah. You know, Carol and I are here to give you insight, information. And then it's only good for you as listeners or residents and citizens of Hawaii, whereby you can take it and you can make sure that government is for you, works for you.